Also, serving God has a lot to do with having a pure heart. A little while after I first got to Hsinchu to serve the Lord full-time, there was a United Church all-night prayer meeting in Hsinchu, so we went to participate in the all-church all-night prayer meeting. After we got there, we found out that although it was an all-church prayer meeting, it seemed like we actually spent very little time praying. Most of the time we spent singing hymns, and then there was a sermon. Then after the sermon, they'd pray a few words, and then we'd begin to sing hymns again. And it went on like this, so the actual time spent praying was very little. Now, the pastor was a very famous pastor. And while he was preaching, he said, "Let me tell you the truth. If you want me to preach a 2-hour sermon, no problem. But ask me to kneel there before God and be still and silent and draw near to God for an hour is like asking for my life." And when I heard this, I was so startled. At that time, I was 26 years old and had just started to serve the Lord full-time. And during that time, we only had to preach every 2 weeks. But we spent so much time drawing near to the Lord, seeking God. "Lord, what do you want me to speak about?" And even before coming out to serve the Lord full-time, while I was still working, and even though work was very busy and we had to attend lots of meetings and services, even though it was very busy, but we still spent a lot of time drawing near to God. How could such a great pastor say these kinds of words? I was very shocked. On one hand, I felt he was being very honest, which was adorable. But on the other hand, I thought, you know, that's right. Even though we may be preaching, it's still possible that we are serving the temple and not serving God. If we aren't willing to frequently come near to his temple, to stand before him, draw near to him, abide by his commandments, our hands, although they are doing all church-related matters, our feet, even though they are always standing inside a church building, but it's very possible we are serving the temple and not serving God. Paul knew about this matter very well. And so he said something in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 to 27. He said, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Paul was a person with a strong vision. His goal was very clear. That's why he says, "I run in such a way as not without aim. I'm battling, I'm boxing, I'm not beating the air. I know who my enemy is." He knows he has a great enemy. It's himself. "I discipline my body and make it my slave." Why does he have to discipline his body? "So that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Sometimes we are so busy serving God that we end up pushing God to the side. We are so busy serving God that we forget about God. Do you think Paul's ministry was busy? No doubt it was very busy. In his past, Paul had experienced some very amazing encounters with God, and he was also extremely familiar with the Bible. So he could not spend time with God and still have a very effective ministry. But he said, "I discipline my body and make it my slave." He always knew, even though he was very passionately spreading the gospel, planting churches, serving people, he knew he had one goal, and he knew it very clearly. In the book of Philippians, he says, "I have lost all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as a loss for the sake of Christ." In other words, if my heart gets captivated by my ministry to such a point, or my ministry causes me to be so busy to such a point that it causes my hunger for spending time with God to decrease, causes me not to have enough time to draw near to God, or causes me to want to spend time with God less and less, because I'm busy with leading Bible study or preparing Bible materials, then this is called things that were considered gain to us. Paul said, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. So for the sake of gaining Christ, Paul knew, these things will capture my heart. Although in the eyes of man, they may look very good and are seemingly spiritual things, but he said, I count them but rubbish. Especially those of us in full-time ministry, we must pay even more attention to this. Also, anyone who loves the Lord must pay attention to this. In the book, The Difference Between Heaven and Earth, it tells a story of a man. He had a lot of faith, and his burden was simply to spread the gospel to people, to prove that Jesus is God, to prove the existence of God. But after he passed away and got to heaven, he realized everyone already knew that Jesus is God. They don't need him to say anything. And so he felt he was not very interested in heaven. He'd rather go to hell, because at least there are a lot of people in hell that don't know Jesus is Lord that could listen to him preach, listen to him prove his point. So he preferred to go to hell. So his interest was not in Jesus, not in God. His interest was to prove that Jesus is God. We also need to know why spiritual service is sometimes very attractive to our flesh. It's very attractive. One time, there was a brother who told me he wanted to serve the Lord full time. So I asked him, why do you want to serve the Lord full time? And he said, because I really like to lead Bible study. And I said, oh, that's dangerous. I told him, serving God doesn't mean leading Bible studies. Serving God means that you'll have to endure a lot of slander. It means you'll have a lot of crosses to carry. It's not exactly what you make it out to be. Oftentimes in our service, we are serving our flesh. That is, my flesh really likes to state my views, express my opinion in front of everybody, to present my new revelation from Bible reading. This is called serving my flesh, not serving God. In God's house, there are many types of service that our flesh may actually have lots of interest in. It's very attracted to. Even playing the piano can be serving our flesh, right? Because I really like to play the piano. I get so carried away when I play. And I especially like to play in front of everybody. This is just the same as someone else who enjoys playing the piano and likes to play in piano concerts, right? It's a performance. And so that's why Paul says, I discipline my body and make it my slave. He does not let his flesh have even a little bit of a say in the matter. He doesn't let his flesh take pleasure in anything, even a little bit. He says, I'm using my whole heart and soul to serve God. I'm using all my heart and soul to serve God. Serving God or serving the temple is really not about what physical action you are doing, but it's about how pure our heart is, our motivation. Back when we were in Hsinchu, every Christmas we would usually perform a skit. And one of the skits that we did was called 9 Minutes of Death. I was assigning the roles for the skit, and I assigned a very introverted brother to act as the alcoholic in the skit, just to help him become more free. The brother was very obedient, so he acted as the alcoholic. In the skit, the alcoholic spirit would constantly surround this other person who loved to drink, circling around him, begging, give me a sip, give me a sip, give me one drop. But this brother was willing to obey and took on this role of this character, even though it wasn't a very good character. But it was during the skit, while he was on stage, he was filled by the Holy Spirit. Over the course of that one particular skit, many people were filled by the Holy Spirit because for them, the character that they were acting was very against their nature. For instance, in another skit, there was a brother, he was also quite introverted, and we asked him to act as King David and told him to wear a dress and dance before the tabernacle. Wearing a dress was already difficult enough, and then having to dance is like asking for his life. And he's a very shy brother. But afterwards, when we were finished with the skit, he told me one time as we were going to a meeting and we were in the same elevator, he said, you know, Ever since that time, I acted as King David in the skit. No matter what Holy Spirit prompts me to do in the middle of a meeting, whether it is to get up, to yell, or to dance, it all seems pretty easy. So you see, if our heart is serving God, even acting in these skits can be a spiritual thing. It can be edifying for you. Brothers and sisters, we just have to learn to be obedient and meek, to accept the circumstances given to us. Instead of thinking, oh, I don't want to. I'm a guy. How can I wear a dress? Oh, how can I act as an alcoholic? All my friends will laugh at me, right? Just be willing to obey, and God will be very willing to bless you. In addition, there were many brothers and sisters among us. While they were yet to get on stage to perform, they were there just drawing near to God, drawing near to God. And then when it was their turn, they would get on stage and act. And when they were done acting, they would be there again, drawing near to God, waiting until they received God's presence, and then they would go home. So you see, every matter can be spiritual. Brothers and sisters, you have to keep in mind, don't just bury your head into a ministry or be so deeply consumed by an event so that you're always going in and out, one minute running into the Holy of Holies, next minute running back out into the outer court, one minute running into the Holy of Holies, the next minute running back out into the outer court. During the meeting time, you're in the Holy of Holies. Then the next set in, after you leave Sheraton Hotel, you're running out again. This requires practice. We can be serving Him continually over the course of one day, always serving Him. Over the course of the entire day, our thoughts, our emotions, our attention can constantly be positioned before His table, no matter what you're doing. Let's look at another passage. John chapter 12, verse 26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Here Jesus says, to serve Him, the single most important thing is to follow Him. To serve Him is to follow Him. This is the same as what Ezekiel 44 is saying. It's you being there attentively, standing before Him, following Him, obeying His instructions. This is the most important thing about serving God. Serving God is not, oh, I want to do this for God. I want to do that for God. No, it means to follow Him. We have a sister, she once told me, she's working in a gospel organization. Their organization frequently held meetings. And now the sister, she had been filled with the Holy Spirit before, and she also was a sister who often stood before the Lord. So one time, as they were in another meeting, she said she felt like the Lord was crying inside of her. She felt His sadness inside of her. And then the Lord said to her, look at them. They frequently hold meetings, so many meetings, but they never give me any opportunities to speak to them. Isn't this true? We do this so often. We hold so many meetings and discuss many things, but we don't ever give God a chance to speak to us. And this is the reason why many churches are so weak, because they don't follow God. There's a very well-known pastor who told me one time, he said, every week, the thing they spend the most time doing is holding meetings. Because he has become a very well-known pastor and has built up many churches. And so one minute this church has a meeting, that church has a meeting, this fellowship has a meeting, elders meeting, co-workers meeting, many, many meetings. Now, of course, there are some things that we really need to hold meetings for. But if we learn to look to Him and follow Him, even in our meetings, then it's different. Therefore, brothers and sisters, if we're really serving God, we won't keep saying, oh, I'm so busy, and then start complaining. We wouldn't. While you're doing your work, you'll realize if you are in the realm of following the Lord and serving Him, that you will always have the Lord's reward. It's the reward of His presence. One time I went to a seminary to visit a couple who we were very good friends with before. We went to visit them at the seminary where they were studying, but they had already served the Lord full-time for many years before they decided they want to continue their studies at seminary. And so we went to go visit them, and then we asked them, "You must be extremely busy, right?" And they say, "Yeah, it's very busy because there's seminary homework and then you have to go intern at churches on the weekend. It really is busy every day, so busy." But then he paused for a moment and then he said, "But honestly, if you took all this service away, I wouldn't really even know what to do." This points out to us that our lives are all serving the temple. You might sigh and say, "I'm so busy, I'm so busy." But when you actually take away all the serving, you'll feel like, "I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what to do every day." Brothers and sisters, we really have to be clear about what our goal is. I've told this example before. A hunter was going out to hunt one night, and there were a lot of mosquitoes. So he began to hit the mosquitoes, hitting them throughout the night. Finally, it was dawn. He didn't catch any game, but he was bitten and stung all over his face by mosquitoes. We're like that today too. Many of us Christians who love the Lord, in the beginning, our hearts are very pure and childlike. We're filled with the passion of our first love, and we want to serve God. But as the days go by, our goal becomes blurry, and we start swatting mosquitoes. We forgot that our goal is to lay hold of Christ. We forgot that we are running, like Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That goal is the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But we forget what our goal is, and we become busy swatting mosquitoes, busy serving this person, busy preparing a meal for the fellowship, busy with the friendships in the fellowship, and then beginning to arrange lots of events. Somebody's birthday party is coming up. Just being busy with so many of these events. This is called swatting mosquitoes. We just keep on swatting mosquitoes. We forgot that we want to gain Christ. This is the most important thing. There is a sister. She is the wife of a full-time minister, and she told me that her husband is a very good brother in Christ. But she said to me, "I realized about my husband that his ministry has now become like his business. It's become like a business. All day, coming in and going out, all day long, he only thinks about his ministry. He's already left the place of seeking the Lord, longing for the Lord. He already lost that hunger." In 1989, we had 78 coworkers going to Korea together. On the last day, it was testimony sharing time. There was a minister who gave this testimony, and she said, "When I first came out to serve God, I often shed tears because of God's love. But after many years of serving, my sweat drops replaced my teardrops." When you sweat a lot, you don't have any more tears. Because you're too busy with so many things, so you'll be less likely to shed tears and be touched by God's presence and God's love. So the minister said, these past couple of days, and because we went to Korea, she let go of all her serving since we were just there visiting a few churches, and it was all the Koreans serving us. She said, "These few days, my tears have started flowing again." Her testimony left a deep impression on me. We have many people among us who love the Lord, love the church, and we serve a lot. But we have to keep in mind, are we gradually becoming emotionally unresponsive to God, unable to shed tears? You might ask, why do we need to shed tears? Yes, if you haven't shed tears in a long time, it is very possible that your heart has already become hardened. If our hearts are soft, we really will easily shed tears in view of God's love when we are touched by God's love. So we really need to ask ourselves, are our lives full of work or full of God Himself? Every day I say, "I'm so busy," but am I actually busy with work or am I busy serving God Himself? Two people may be busy with the same things, but if their hearts, their motivation are different, then the result of their labor will be very different. The results will be very different. Only the one who stands before God can let God's will flow freely on this earth. They can carry out the right kind of service if we frequently stand before God with a sincere heart. Brother Lawrence once said, "Because I love the Lord, I can bend down to pick up one blade of grass, and I will feel incredible sweetness." Sometimes we feel like, "It's just a blade of grass. I'm too lazy to bend down to pick it up. I'll just kick it with my foot." But Brother Lawrence, he was a person who stood before the Lord all day, so he could be serving God no matter what he was doing. Even in picking up a blade of grass, he would feel a sense of holiness. In the kitchen, cooking dishes for so many people to eat, with so many noisy people bothering him, one person wants this dish, another person wants that dish. But for Brother Lawrence, even as he's standing there cooking, he feels as if he were kneeling before the Lord and taking communion. So nothing can stop us from serving God, and no amount of busy work can keep us from receiving God's presence, from receiving God Himself. It's all about whether or not we're there single-heartedly serving Him like the descendants of Zadok, frequently standing before Him. Paul, see how he beats his body and makes it his slave. He knew very well the danger of his old self. Paul was one who was very capable. He knew the Bible incredibly well and had experienced so much, and he was incredibly gifted. He could have been constantly dragged away by ministry. He could have been tied down by serving all day long. Yet Paul wasn't. At the very end, right before his death, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, what does he say? He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness." He says, not only for me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. He says that that crown is for those who have longed for Jesus' appearing. This is what Paul said in his old age. The older he got, you realize, this fighter for the gospel, this builder of many churches, a writer of so many epistles, and served so many people, this servant of God, what was the one thing he stored in his heart? Longing for Jesus' appearing. Longing for Jesus' appearance. So when he was leaving this world, actually, Paul was quite lonely. Why? Because everyone had left him at that point. Many coworkers had left him. But see, he didn't have any sighs or regret saying, "Look at these people. They have no sympathy." Not at all. He felt he was going to an award ceremony to receive a crown. Such an overcomer. So brothers and sisters, we really need to know what our goal is. What our goal is. I read this book, Overcoming Evil in the Last Days. In this book, in the last part, it talks about people who served the Lord. Before Christ's throne of judgment, these people, who had been greatly used by God in the church, built up such great organizations, who wrote works that so many people were reading, Bible studies so many people were using, but at the end, when they got to heaven, before the throne of judgment, they had such deep regret, incredibly deep regret. As a result, they ended up in the city that was the farthest away from God. Why? Because when we are before Christ's throne of judgment, every person will admit everything they had ever done. This is what the Bible says. One day, every person will all be judged according to what they have done. At that time, there's nothing that can be covered up or hidden. And I realized, what was the reason for these people being in this situation? When these people first began serving the Lord, they all felt like they were the most shameful of sinners, very humble. But as they served more and more, and the more fruitful their ministry became, and the more they were used by God, they started to think, "How can God's ministry go on without me? Without me, how can God's work be done?" And then they began to build up their own business. So when they went under the light of Christ's judgment, they realized their earthly service was often serving themselves, their own selfish ambition, or their area of leadership. They were serving themselves. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we must be very careful. I also need your prayers, so that when we come before the Lord and see Him face to face, we can be as confident and without fear, just like Paul. Shining of the Sister Mary Ministries, at the end of her life in her biography, do you know what she wrote? She wrote, "The greatest career of my life, the greatest accomplishment of my life was building my individual fellowship with Jesus Christ." She said that her life's greatest accomplishment, her career, was her fellowship with Jesus. Her career wasn't, oh, the Sister Mary Ministries has now been planted in so many countries and grown so much. Look at how many people have come to the Lord, how many books we have published. None of that. She said her life's greatest accomplishment was to build up her and Jesus' individual fellowship. Brothers and sisters, this also should become our life's most important career. So we have to ask ourselves, what sort of career are we developing every day? Is it focused on, oh, my fellowship, my church? Oh, if my congregation is increasing, that makes me the happiest. Or is it focused on, Jesus' presence is more and more abundant in my life. He is leading me even more deeply than before, and in His light, I continue to grow in a poor and contrite spirit. Is it these things that make us the happiest? Through these, we can see what it is that we are really chasing after, if we are actually serving God or serving the temple. If we frequently stand before Him, draw near to Him, you'll realize only then will our ears be opened and we can hear God's instruction. And if you obey Him at that moment, you'll realize that only this type of service has 100% accuracy. Only that type of service effectively bears fruit. That type of service is one that God commemorates. So I encourage all of our coworkers. Whether you are leading worship, even you are leading one song, whether you are playing the piano or any instrument, the most important thing is that you are continually coming near to the table of God, drawing near to Him, attentively standing before Him, keeping His commandments. If you are, then the notes you play will be totally different. The way you lead worship will be completely different. Skill is secondary. The most important thing is, am I continually serving Him? Whatever we're doing, if we are serving Him all day, every day, the service that we carry out, little by little, it will bring a different result, results that will last forever. In his book, Overcoming Evil in the Last Days, Prophet Rick Joyner, when he got to heaven, they told him, "I want to tell you how to keep yourself on the path of life. It is to love your Savior and seek His glory alone." He said it can keep you always on the path of life. That is simply to love your Savior and seek His glory alone. Don't seek your own glory. He said, all the things you do to exalt yourself will someday bring you the most terrifying shame. Meaning our ministry, if it is to exalt ourselves, one day it will bring you the most terrifying shame. If you do it out of true love for your Savior, to glorify His name in everything you do, to expand the boundaries of His eternal kingdom, eventually it will bring you to a higher position. He's talking about heaven. Heaven still has high and low positions. He said, you have to live for the things which count in heaven. Don't care one bit about the things that are counted on earth. Don't care about the things that are counted on earth. Have I been used greatly with the gifts that I've been given? Have I been used greatly? Don't go with the things that count on earth. Because, he said, the things that count on earth are often quite opposite to the things that count in heaven. The things on earth that make you king in heaven are often the biggest factors that hinder you from ruling and reigning with Christ. The things that make you a king in heaven are often the things that are most despised on earth. So much of our value systems must be changed. The Bible says all of this. Whoever loses his life for me will find it, right? To find life, you must lose your life. These are all written in the Bible. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So what God wants is our heart. God wants us to serve Him with all of our heart. Also, every Christian should serve Him with all their hearts. The church should not be just certain people serving God. For instance, when we are worshiping the Lord, worship is the highest form of service. So brothers and sisters, we should hear every single brother and sister's voice leading us to worship God together. You shouldn't always say, just let those few people who sit in the front lead worship and that'll be good enough. God wants to hear your voice. Every person should offer up sacrifice. God's purpose for redemption is for us to serve Him, to worship Him. So for every time of worship, we should come earlier. Come earlier, prepare our hearts to join in the procession of worship, worshiping Him with our whole hearts, serving our King, transcending my feelings, transcending my emotions, to serve Him because He is too glorious. He is worthy of our worship, worthy of our service. Starting today, whether you are at a meeting, at home, or you are cooking a meal, you can serve the Lord and worship Him in that place. Just tell Him, Lord, thank you. I'm going to serve you with my love. When you cook that meal, your kids will say, Mom, how come your cooking is so good today? Because it's done out of love. There is a difference. Ask the Lord to help us. Really. And these days, as we're talking about serving in ministry, let us better understand what is true serving in the eyes of God, that our whole lives will be so pleasing to Him, and so that we may lay hold of more of Christ. If we often practice serving God and ministering to the Lord, then we won't be so bound by our environment. For example, the piano isn't working. I don't know how to worship God anymore. Or the person leading worship isn't leading very well. I don't know how to worship anymore. Or before I came here, I was just scolded by my boss, so I don't know how to worship anymore. No, we must frequently stand before God, serving Him. It's not because of my circumstances, but because He is our King. He is worthy of my service and worship. He rescued and redeemed me so that I may serve Him.